The district is planning on a drop in state funding because of declining student enrollment numbers. On a radio call-in program this month, Superintendent Erica Clute-Painter said families with kids have been leaving town.
Even with all the positions and jobs in town, it can be really challenging. This is an expensive place to live anyway. And then you sort of add in these, you know, the rising costs that we understand. People are trying to keep grocery stores open and hardware stores and all those things. I get it from an economic perspective, but we do have families that just flat out can't afford to stay. So we had a number of those cases in those last few weeks of school that really, you know, and they're not just saying they're going, they're actually going. They've got plans. So
administrators are not filling some vacant staff positions in response, and they're planning other spending cuts. 425 students is the cutoff for state funding for three schools, and the district was at 426 this year. This budget is based on enrollment of 413, although district officials think that number could drop lower. It means a big reduction in state funding, but that blow could be softened depending on budget decisions by the governor. The legislature approved a small increase to the state's per-pupil funding formula, as well as a one-time payment of $57 million to districts statewide. However, Clute-Painter said the district is not counting on that additional money.
We are very, very confident that there will be additional funding that will, you know, buffer this budget and make it look much better than it does right now. But we don't want to make any assumptions, and we don't have that in writing, you know, from the governor at this point.
The one-time state funding could mean an additional $262,000 for Petersburg schools, greatly reducing the loss from the declining student enrollment. Another big challenge is rising costs for the district. The largest the district saw during the past year was a 77% jump in the cost of heating fuel. The local government has also boosted the cost of utilities, and the district expects to pay about 28% more for electricity, water, sewer, and garbage. Finance Director Karen Morrison told the school board that cuts would be across the board if the budget remains as is.
This budget does represent reduced supply budgets district-wide. There's not professional development built in. There's not curriculum adoption. Reductions are going to be across the board, teaching, technology, maintenance, student transportation. It's a bare bones budget. And hopefully what Erica and I are hoping is this is the worst case, and we'll be able to come back in the fall and be able to say, hey, our numbers are either up or we found money or the state's giving us money to help cover our heating fuel.
This budget puts expected revenue at $7.9 million, while anticipated spending would top $8.6 million. That means the district would spend down its reserves to make up that deficit. Morrison said that would leave the fund balance at just over $400,000 at the end of the year.
So that's the not-so-great news. We've never had it this low since I've been at the district. We're doing everything that we can, though, to leverage our funds and be conservative.
A waiver on a 10% limit for that fund balance has helped the district save more money than usual. The schools have also used federal pandemic relief funding, and this year the district asked for and received $200,000 more from the borough government. Board President Sarah Holmgren was appreciative of that additional funding, but she noted some of the money would be paid back to the borough for increased utility charges.
As you've shown and said time and time again, so much of our costs are fixed, and we have been successful for many years, but at the cost of what? And $200,000 doesn't go very far when you're seeing increases of fuel costs doubling, and you're seeing utilities, which they get that money back. So you've got an increase of 35% here, another increase over here. They get all that money back from us.
The board approved that budget on a 4-0 vote, with board member Megan Litster not at the meeting. They typically revise that spending plan during the school year with actual enrollment and state funding numbers. In other news, the superintendent updated the board on plans to apply for state funding to replace the roof on the middle and high school building. That involves paying for a conditions report of the existing roof and applying to be on the state's capital improvement project list.
I have no doubt we'll end up on the list. We've gotten through the process multiple times. I'm very confident we'll get there, and it won't be this year. It will be probably in the 2024 cycle, mm-hmm. Which it will take us every bit of a year to get through all
process,
of the process
yeah.
that we have to do.
The application from Petersburg Schools competes against requests from other districts, and if Petersburg's successful, it still has to fund a portion of the work, at least 30%. To that end, Clute Painter told the board she intends to ask the borough to cover the cost from the borough's federal payment under the Secure Rural Schools program. It's too early to know any dollar amounts. The district has completed other major projects using that state funding program. Those include food service improvements, siding and window renovation at the elementary school, as well as boiler and fuel storage tank replacement. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.